Okay, welcome back to Ask the Mayor in Terre Haute. We were off, you were off last June, so I hope you had a good little summer break.
I did. It was my third vacation really in about 9 years, so it was really an enjoyable time just to get away and just kind of relax. So it was a very good vacation.
Good, and we're back and back at it, and as we know, things never change in the political climate. You know, this segment airs Wednesday. We're recording this on a Tuesday. So some might change, but word is Indiana Governor Mike Pence may be Trump's running mate. And, you know, you said this before that you will back the Republican nomination. So what do you think about all this talk about Pence jumping ship and headed over to perhaps a presidential race?
All I can say is what a crazy year this has been so far, and who knows what comes next. You know, hearing Evan Bay may jump in, and just all these different things just makes it such a topsy-turvy election cycle. There's always a few, you know, dramatic things that happen. This one seems to be full of drama and soap opera kind of stuff, and it's hard to follow all of it. I love it, you know, I personally love it, but people come up to me and say, what is going on? What's Pence thinking? What's Trump thinking? I mean, it's almost comical at times because everybody has their own view, and there's probably 10 different variations out there of why somebody's doing this and why they're not. And I mean, it is just, it's really hard to explain. And it's, if you're a political junkie, you think it's great. Everybody else thinks, what do I do? Who am I voting for? I don't even know who's going to be on the ballot. So I don't know.
Would this be a good thing for Pence, you think?
Yeah, probably. I mean, he has aspirations, always had. I think those kind of seem to get shot down through some of the things that's happened here the last few years. And obviously he didn't put his name in the ring to run for president. But now he's got a chance to kind of bypass that part of the process. And, you know, if Trump's elected and he's his VP, that puts him in great position for the future if that's what he desires. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, and whether Trump can win or not, we don't know. So there's a lot of unknown factors. And, you know, most politicians will strategically determine, is this the right time for me to do this? Or should I wait? Should I try another cycle? And you may miss it. You know, you may just completely miss your chance if you don't jump in. And so, you know, I know that I've thought about things over time. And it's like, what do you do? Who do you align yourself with? What do you decide you're going to do to position yourself for some future office? And if you miss it, it's gone. If you take it, you may not make it. I mean, there's just so many different paths. And I think right now people are just trying to decide where is the best chance for me to be successful as we move on down the road. And, you know, and I don't know. You know, I really don't think anybody knows what the answer is to any of these, where everybody's going to land, I guess, at the end of the process. But here we are days away from something's got to get settled.
Yeah. As a member of the Republican Party, do you hear things kind of in the woodwork in terms of, is the Republican Party perhaps in the state more, do they want Pence to do this?
I think you've got both. Yeah. I think you've got some factions of the party that think Mike Pence, they wanted to keep him as governor, think he's a perfect fit for him, stay there. I think there's other parts of the party that think, boy, that'd be good for Indiana to have him on that national ticket, you know, and Trump's got a shot to win. I mean, I think it's kind of 50-50 right now. So that would be a good thing for Indiana. Then on the other hand, you know, there's people that are just, you know, I don't know. You don't know what they're going to do. They don't show their cards. And so I have no idea what some Republicans are going to do. Some are not showing their cards on Trump. You know, they won't show their cards on a Pence thing. So I don't know where they're going to end up. When they go in the voting booth in November, I'm not really sure what some, probably about a third of them from what I know, not really sure what they're going to do.
I wanted to bring up, too, we were talking just about, you know, news and all the shootings these past 2 months since we last talked. Mm-hmm. It's just from Orlando and then yesterday in Michigan. What goes through your mind as mayor here in Terre Haute when you, and whether you wake up or you turn on the news and you see, it's like yesterday, another shooting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I watch all that. I mean, I'm kind of a news junkie, but then you're always thinking, what if that happens here? no matter what it is, you know, from a natural disaster to something like this, whether it's a terrorist attack or some lone wolf person doing something, those things are real and they happen. And we're seeing them almost every day. It seems like there's some new news of some kind of a violent act going on. And, you know, our police officers, there's always going to be police officers that may not do the right thing. But when you look at the total number of officers in the United States, they're all out there doing a great job every single day of keeping us safe, keeping the wall there between the good and the evil kind of a thing. And I don't know what all those cases, how they're going to play out. If somebody's done something wrong, they'll be held accountable for that. And I just don't think anybody should take it into their own hands to go, you know, in retribution form to go kill somebody because they felt somebody was not done right. There's a system in place. We have, you know, judge and jury system, and people are going to be held accountable if they've done something wrong, no matter what side of the fence you're on. And so I feel good about the system. Does it break down sometimes? Probably. Do people make bad decisions and, you know, make mistakes? Absolutely. But I think it's a very small percentage of the overall things that go on every single day and across the United States. And so I hate seeing this stuff. I don't like people fighting and taking up violence to try to solve problems. That's not the answer. Their voice needs to be heard. I get that. But there's two sides to every story, and I think we all just need to continue to work together to find out how we get over this, you know, cycle right now that we're in. It's not a good one.
Yeah, and then that takes us to the debate, especially in more in the political rounds of gun control. How do you feel about the action or non-action of gun control in politics?
Well, you know, I think we've got good gun control laws. I mean, I really do. Yes, there's probably some things we need to do to make sure that people who are mentally ill, maybe people on the watch list, you know, that was a good debate that was going on a couple of weeks ago that seems to have been lost now, about what can we do to kind of tighten it up to make it tougher for some people. It still doesn't mean you can't get access to a gun, but maybe you need to make sure that they're not, you know, there's not something going on that we should delay that. It seems like most of these people doing these heinous crimes are buying legal guns. If the legal guns weren't there, they would be getting illegal guns. So these people that are motivated to do something bad are going to get guns anyway. That's why that argument of taking them all away is not the answer. Drugs are illegal, yet they're everywhere. Guns will be readily available like that. And so we just got to make sure we continue to tighten up for those people that shouldn't be accessing guns, not just the regular person in the community who's a responsible gun owner.
Summer is in full swing and just in time for swimming, but looks like residents will have to wait a little while longer.
Just a little bit. We're almost there. You know, we've got everything fixed, working on water quality issues that you have every year. You always go through this process when you fill up the pool. But I'm feeling really good about it. So we're within days here of getting it open. So water temperature's right where it needs to be. Get our tests back and we'll get it open.
What other summer projects are starting off that people maybe, construction, road, I don't know, that people
should know?
It's mostly
paving, you know. Margaret Avenue will be kicking off later this year, the next phase of that, but, you know, we'll kind of get out more towards the end of the construction season, but just the normal paving projects. We still have a lot of utility work going on in the community too, and so on any given day, we had an incident a few weeks ago where we were paving Poplar, which is one of our major thoroughfares, of course, and Vectren was working on a major pipeline upgrade. And so they were all in the same general vicinity, which created a big traffic issue that day. And so we worked with them to try to change their schedule a bit. But those things, this is that time of the year. We're going to be doing sidewalks, working on corners, doing inlet work, storm drain inlets with our wastewater folks. That's a summer project that we do when we find out the ones have collapsed and not working properly when you get these heavy rainfalls. So it's going to be inconvenient like it always is, but you know, when we get done, the results are really what you're thankful for.
And I know that the budget session is kind of always in session. Yeah. You're always working on that and getting it into place. The waste and refuse fee kicks in June, but you won't see that money until this month.
It's starting to come in now. So we're, you know, bills that are due in July. So we'll be collecting 6 months worth of that this year, which will help our budget, our general fund part of our budget tremendously. We'll be paying for our Republic Services contract out of that. And you know, that's a big step for us to help stabilize that general fund. And yeah, we're budgeting and working on some drafts that we're going to get to the council here in August. We're going to try to move it up about a month. Normally they wouldn't get it till September. We hope to get something to them in August that they begin to go through and give us a little bit more time before, you know, the end of when you get into that October, the deadline approaches, it puts everybody under a lot of time constraints. So we want to make sure we have an extra 30 days this month to have some dialogue. And I feel good about what the budget's looking like. So each year we're making, you know, some baby steps to get all those issues behind us.
Now, the waste fee was to make up part of a deficit, but there's money still needed for, is it stormwater or sewer?
Yeah, stormwater fee. Stormwater you know, fee. When we look at, we have to separate these things. And so you've got all these other general services we do over here. Then you've got the sanitary district and the wastewater treatment plant. And we've got four more long-term control plan projects we have to do. We're in the process of completing the first one. And our three rate increases in the past were for the wastewater treatment plant and for the first phase of the long-term control plan. We've got four more major steps to make, roughly $100 million we have to spend over the next 15 years. And so we're looking at a stormwater fee versus a sewer rate increase because we want to pay for those stormwater projects through that fee. It's just cleaner to be able to say, here's where your money is going, here's the projects to get done. With our tax caps in the sanitary district, we lost about $2 million a year. You know, we've got the projects don't go away. These things, we can't stop and say we're not gonna do them. We need to continue to do these projects. And so the stormwater fee would be to fund those things that are stormwater related.
And where are you in that process?
We've given it to the council. Of course, it was submitted as new business for this month, for July. And so, we're going to be talking about it this week, and then next week is a voting week. So whether we get it voted on next week, I don't know yet, but there'll be a lot of discussion. We've had sanitary board meeting. We had a public informational meeting last week, and the newspaper and the other media sources have been, you know, providing a lot of information to the public. There's always pushback anytime you add any kind of a fee, but we're trying to make sure everybody understands what it's for, the fact that we don't have a choice. We can't say we're not going to do anything because we have to follow through with our long-term control plan. And so, you know, it's just getting everybody on board with that.
And just maybe you could break down the numbers a little bit. But right now, what's it looking like?
Well, it'll go anywhere from $3 a month for a vacant lot up to $18 a month for a very, very large house. Most people were probably looking about $6 or $8 a month for the stormwater fee. And then we intend to bill that through the property tax bills next year. We may have to, depending on when this gets implemented, we may have to do it. We'll do a quarterly billing if we don't do it through the property tax bills, but it would be something that would get started later this year.
And the stormwater projects, is this something that is being done because of EPA regulations or just because
of
infrastructure?
No, it's both. You know, you've got these EPA guidelines that you have to follow, our long-term control plan, but then we've got projects in our communities out here, in neighborhoods within the community, that they need drainage. We've got a whole southeast part of Terre Haute that has no storm drains, no curbs, no gutters, nothing. And so that's all have to be built out over time. We're not going to be able to do it all at once because that one neighborhood project's about $22 million to complete.
Something I wanted to ask you about too, and I'm not sure you have any more information, but I think a couple months ago, FBI agents raided the Vigo County school offices. We're just curious if you know anything about that. Not much was said. Mm-hmm. Do they contact the mayor's office or the city when something like that happened?
We had no heads up at all. The only thing I've heard is that, you know, there's FBI agents out of Indianapolis and elsewhere outside of Indiana even. And I think that's pretty common. They'll do that a lot of times because of a local issue like that. But we didn't have any heads up. We found out they were there. I was personally driving by the building and saw it, and then I started getting some messages and things right about the same time. But no, they don't consult with us. They kind of just go do their own thing. And I think that's what's interesting about that. Whenever you have a federal investigation like that, not much leaks out because they're not in Terre Haute. You know, they're not people here that things get around. And so we haven't really heard a thing. You know, most of the media things is what people are saying and what little bits and pieces you can get, but they're not putting anything out and we've not heard anything at all officially.
I see the Vigo County Fair's in full swing. Mm-hmm. What other summer activities can residents take part in now?
Well, you know, we're gonna have the Ribs on the River here coming up in August. You know, the downtown block party happens in August also, big 4th of July celebration. It was a little wet over here, but we still had a tremendous turnout for that. So there's seems like about every month we have a pretty major, significant kind of activity, and then there's a lot of smaller ones going on all the time. I can't believe it's the middle of July already. I mean, kids are going to be going back to school in a month. It just goes too fast, but we still have a lot of things, and we're going to get the pool open, so, and we're going to keep it open beyond when normally we close it when school opens, so we're going to go beyond that as long as the weather cooperates with us. So there's a lot of things going on in Terre Haute, and a lot of fun things to do, and then when the fall comes, of course, a lot of the festivals kick in, so kind of from basically August all the way to Christmas, it's going to be very busy around here.
What else am I missing? And it's been 2 months since we've been here, when we talked about the stormwater fees. Anything else that?
You know, that's really kind of the big thing that faces us right now. The Rex are having another good season. I always like to mention them. You know, it's an exciting thing, and attendance has been really good this year. You know, just a lot of positive things. You know, a lot of times through the media, you know, you get the negative stories, and everybody kind of, wish we could get that resolved or get that behind us. But there's a lot of positive stuff that goes on that really outweighs all those negatives. But every community has challenges. Terre Haute does too, but we seem to be really progressing against a lot of those challenges. We've seen a lot of interest in our community. I've said that quite a few times, but we continue to see that. People who want to come here and do business, people who have moved here and tell me why they moved here is because of the quality of life. They really like the low taxes and the low crime and the amenities that we have here. And so that's really been my focus this year, especially too, just to promote that. And all the plans that we're doing for the next few years are going to revolve around that. How do we make it a better place for people to want to live and work and play?